We do not realize today what a curse leprosy was, how bad it was if one became a leper, and how easy it was to be declared a leper even if you weren't. It was a horrible, horrible disease. Literally, your extremities, so your fingers, your toes, you begin to lose them until it ultimately kills you. But they literally, it eats away at your flesh. And so a lot of times when you saw people that had leprosy, they had no fingers left because they had all been eaten away by this disease that we know today as Hansen's disease. And we know actually that it's treatable because we can, which is why we don't know much about it anymore. We simply prescribe essentially what are antibiotics and it goes away. But in the time of Naaman, who is not a Jew, he's from Syria, in the time of Jesus, when these lepers are people he encounters, if you had any kind of skin blemish, you had to be closely examined and set aside and set apart from the community. Because among other things, not only is leprosy destructive, it is highly contagious, which is why they lived outside of the community. And there were good reasons for this, because it could wipe out an entire community. It also raised up a great saint. Maybe you haven't heard of St. Damien of Molokai, but Molokai is an island among the Hawaiian Islands, and it was an island where they sent lepers to separate them, even in our day, so that they could not infect others. And even St. Damien, who went there of his own accord, he himself contracted leprosy and died. But what would happen to someone if they were diagnosed as having leprosy is that they would be forced to live apart from the community. Their whole life was ruined. Every relationship they had, they were separated from, never really to be a part of again. In the time of Jesus, it was not uncommon that they either would ring a bell as people came even from afar off to let them know they were lepers, or they had to shout at the top of their lungs, "Unclean, unclean." So when Jesus actually interacts with lepers, that would have been a highly unusual thing. And we have two people who are cured today. Well, we have 11, really, 10 in the gospel, and Naaman in the first reading. Naaman comes by his healing in a way that sometimes I find myself guilty of. So he's not Jewish, but he has someone who serves him who is Jewish, who has heard of Elisha, the great prophet. He was the prophet that succeeded Elijah, who was taken up in the cloud and was the sign of the return of Jesus. And this girl says to him, "You know, we've got a great prophet in my land, and he can make you whole." So Naaman, who works for the royal court, sends somebody to the king and says, "We want you to heal Naaman." The king, of course, thinks this is a trap. He is just trying to pick a fight with me, and when I can't cure Naaman, he's going to use that as an excuse to go to war. But ultimately, Naaman encounters Elisha, who says to him, "Just bathe in the River Jordan." The River Jordan is not the greatest river in the world. It's not very big. It's not very powerful. It certainly is not as powerful as the Euphrates, sometimes called the Great River, because it was. And so Naaman looks at it and says, "You want me to do that? How many rivers back where I live are much more powerful than this one? It's too ordinary. How can God do anything with something so ordinary?" But fortunately, the girl who introduced him to Elisha says, "If he had told you to do something unbelievably dramatic, wouldn't you have done it? If he had told you to climb Mount Everest, or if he had told you to do whatever, wouldn't you have done it?" How much more now that he tells you to do something so simple? And of course, we hear in today's gospel, Naaman does. We can miss God when we expect him to act in extraordinary ways. God can act in extraordinary ways, and God does. But oftentimes, God does extraordinary things through ordinary things. The Eucharist becomes the Eucharist, even though, really, when you look at the host, it is really just flour and water. Two of the most ordinary things in the world. Every culture uses flour for bread. Every culture has to have water because human beings can't live without water. In fact, you can live without food a lot longer than you can live without water. Then, there are times we miss the action of God because we are not grateful. Jesus changed the whole life of these lepers. All of a sudden, they are able to go from being separate from everybody they knew and everybody they loved. They went from only getting whatever somebody in their pity for them gave them to getting their life back. And they don't thank Jesus. Nine of them are not grateful. Only the Samaritan, the one who was the hated member of society in the time of Jesus, only the Samaritan knows enough to say thank you. Maybe the most ordinary way that God acts is through you and me. Most of us are not exceptionally talented people, really. Even if you were the valedictorian of the class, you'd be one of thousands and thousands of people every year who were the valedictorians of their class. You wouldn't be terribly special, really. If you get into a very selective college that only a few get in, you're one of a lot of people who got into that college. A lot of people get into schools like Harvard and Yale, Stanford, WashU. You're not that extraordinary, really. We're all very ordinary, except for one thing. Every single one of us is an extraordinary creation by God. Every single one of us is made in God's image and likeness. And so, when we are at our best, we give people a little clue about the outstanding and amazing power of God's love for each one of us. We give the world a little tiny clue of the extraordinary things that God can do through us ordinary human beings. When we turn our hearts and lives over to Jesus, amazing, amazing things can happen with us ordinary human beings. But it's only the case if we can remember two things. One, while we are ordinary, we have the extraordinary gift of God's grace, which enables us to do anything that God wants us to do. When we say yes to God, God gives us the grace to do whatever it is He knows needs to be done for the people we love and care about. He gives us everything we possibly need for those situations that we encounter, those circumstances. He gives us the ability to help anyone that is in need. And secondly, we need to be on the lookout for those ways in which God is active in our life. We need to find the ways that Jesus is ready to do great things through you and me. And when we see it, when we encounter it, we need to be sure that we say thank you to God. There is no greater act of thanksgiving than the Eucharist that we are about to receive, because it is in the Eucharist that we encounter the very person of Jesus, for whom we should be unbelievably grateful for his love and creation of each one of us.